Okay. We're holding here in Parsha Shlach, and we saw the Milas Vartis Yisrael in the Akedah, and now we're going to see on page 788, Sor Tzilum Elehim. So the Pasuk says, Ach Bashem Al Timrodu, Ba'atem Al Tiras Hamaretz, don't be scared of the people, Ki Lachmenu Heim, they're a piece of cake, so to speak. Sor Tzilum Elehim, their shadow, that which shadowed over them is gone. Vashem Itona, God is with us, Al Tiram, don't be scared of them. So it's a very, very unclear word, Kisar Tzilum Elehim. In other words, their protector, their shadow is gone. What exactly are we talking about? So Rashi says, we're going to see here the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechaya, various pshatim on what the Sor Tzilum Elehim means over here. So one thing is Sor Tzilum Elehim Maginam Vecheskom Kshem Shemem Mesu. Rashi says one pshat that the tzaddikim whose chus protected them, they've died. Davach Tzilo Shel Makom Samar Elehim Lashon Rashi. Reb Avram Amar Ki Tzilam Magen Vitzina Shem Tzelon Chomim. That is a shield. Yomru Ki Nafal Pach Deinu Aleihem. He says, Sor Tzilum Elehim means they have removed their shield. They've given up. That's what Rebbe Nesser says pshat, and the Ramban agrees that it's a good pshat. Aval, Ramban adds here a pshat, which is kind of in the world of mysticism. Yitochon she'emer zakosul mashal noida, ki b'leil achoysem liyatzel l'roish ha'ish asher yamos b'shanahi. There is a Masoris that on the night of Rosh Hashanah, on the night of Hoshana Rabba, that's called Leila Chosam, a person who's going to die that year does not produce a shadow. Lachach Yomar Kvar Sor Tzilum Me'alehem. It's so another expression of saying that they're doomed to die is they no longer have a shadow. Shenigzem Misa. Vashem Itoniku Ashechem Bekebeinu Vasanis and Flos, Leina Kol Roya, Alkein Al Tiro. So the pshat in so Ramban says the pshat is they don't have that shadow anymore. What that means? Why that means? Naturally, this is a very very it's tochen is Kabbalah dikt. Rabbeinu Bechaya will explain it, and we'll see that in a minute. But I want to just make a remark about something. One of the inyanim that appears only in Kabbalah and not in Halacha is Hoshana Rabba. Hoshana Rabba in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch, really, well, I mean, except for the part that comes from Kabbalah Shulchan Aruch, but Me'ikar Adin, Hoshana Rabba has no significance whatsoever. Hoshana Rabba is the seventh day of Sukkot. They used to depart, and they used to march around with Hashanah more often. There is nothing in Hashanah Rabba that hints at anything other than just a finale of Sukkot. Al Pi Kabbalah, Hashanah Rabba is a very very important day. Hashanah Rabba is a Yom Adin. All the fact that we know we have associated so many things, the person wearing a kittel and all of that comes from Kabbalah. And that was one of the bones of contention between the non-Mekubalim and Mekubalim, or the anti-Mekubalim, I should say, was where did you come up with this new Yom Tov Hashanah Rabba? I don't think eating kreplach was the issue, but I think all the other things, the kittel with the Yom Kippur, the Ramban here, who was a very early Rishon and predates, in a sense, the so-called Giluyim of Kabbalah, brings this as a Masoris. Mimashi Yadua Kibilel Achosim Hagodl Shoshana Rabba, or Yom Chof of Libriya Solom. Hoshana Rabba is the 26th day of the. Hoshana Rabba is a Leila Chosim. It's the day of when there is a Gzardin. Rabbeinu Bechaya will explain it in a minute. But here we find as a Dava Pashit. He doesn't say, I heard someplace, there is some sort of rumor, somebody came up with a Chiddush. It was a Dava Yadua B'Kavua. The Mesoris that Hayshayna Rabba is something which is part and parcel of it's a Yom HaDin, and it's part and parcel of our sense of Yom HaDin. Rabbeinu Bechaya, who a lot of times elaborates and explains a little more, gives the Ramban meaning here. The Ramban's on Pirish Sotim Lehem, Shehus HaTzal Mil Reisham, Miyashidua Kibalei Lachoysam Gol Shashayna Rabba, Hu Yom Chavav Lebriya Sa'olam. First of all, he adds a piece. This, one of the significance of Shana Rabbah is that's the 26th day. The significance of 26 days is that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the gematria of Yud Kei Vav Kei, is 26. And the 26th day, in other words, the Shleimus of the Shem Hashem in gematria is a Shana Rabbah, and that's part of a Shana Rabbah's Chshivas. If you the 20th, if you count the first letter of the Shem Havayah is Yud is 10, and the 10th day of the Bria is Yom Kippur. Next letter is Hey. 5 days later is the first day of is Sukkot, and so on. The 26th day Bria Olam was Chav Hey Elul. So that's where you get 26. There's not going to be a shadow on the one who's going to die that day. He would like to read it in as a remez in the pasuk. It says, so the pasuk literally means as the day comes out in full strength, and the shadows melt away. That's the Pashto meaning of it. But he says, Ya'ama, ki kishigia hazman, sheyafua ha'odom, ve'yetze ruach mepiv, at sheyafua ha'odom means until the day of a person exhaling his last breath comes, oz yistalek tziloy, that's when his shadow disappears, ve'yiskarev letzel shel Hashem ha'roshem dala tevois, and merges with the shadow of Havaya, Shekosuba Hashem Tzilcha. Well, the Fiza Yocholema Venos Hatzel, Avoma Venos Hatzolim, came Shnayim Badam, Bevua, Bevua de Vua. So it's as if what happens is the person's neshama melts into Akadish Baruch Hu's Kaviyachol Tzel. So just like when you have shadows that merge. It's a type of, you know, as the shadows get longer, the shadows begin to merge into each other. The shadow of a person and the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol merge. Ve'ef shalemi b'tami azeshu peli, we can also give it some meaning, even though it's definitely not nothing that we can translate into terms of nature. Ke'atzel ha'royu l'chol nivrem shal ha'shafel. A shadow is something which every being ought to have. That's something that's part and parcel of the metzias of the bria. Bein she'a adam v'heima v'oif eitz v'ev ma'isev asada, mipnei she'oir ha'shemesh ha'zareach lehem bo v'yored l'mati v'mon shusam. V'lachach ein koach b'shemesh l'tchas ha'stzilam avul nitcham v'itzilam. Let's explain the point he's making. Rabbi Bechaya is an example of how you can take something that's mystical. We have no way, we have no scientific way of translating this, and we have no way of giving it a hezbo why it happens. But there's a certain time we can get in it that's very significant. And what is a shadow? You know, what's the place of a shadow in the Bria? Everything that is the sun is the strongest, most powerful force in the world in terms of its light, heat, and everything. Yet, when a person stands in the way of the sun, the person, the place and the space that a person occupies cannot be invaded by the sun. If I have a place here, this place is reserved for me, and even the sun cannot penetrate it. So the metzias is that everything in the world is not transparent. You could have You know, I mean, it could have been, everything could have been transparent. Everything could have been, but the fact that it's not, that it's opaque, and therefore casts a shadow, is reflecting the fact that anything that exists in the world has a schus kiyum, and therefore it casts a shadow. But he says, "Tzilum nearest is mongsha shemesh roel lizroach." And this is an idea that repeats itself many times in the Gemara, the Mishnah. It says a person cannot say al ken tzipo yagir achmecha, because he creates dissension, kina, between ma'aseh bereishis. What it means is a Kadosh Baruch Hu placed every being, gave every being its place, and you don't have the right to displace it. You see it even today when we try to engineer ecology. If we remove something that should have been native to something, if you think about it, let's just think a second about how we sort of, in a reflex way, it's a natural reflex of ours to assume this point. There's a concept of native fauna and native flora. If we go to a place and we try to introduce plants from a different place, we are doomed for failure, we create issues we didn't expect, and so on. A person can say to himself, well, that doesn't make any sense. The assumption is everything got to where it is by accident. A frog was in an adventurous mood, so it hopped. And it hopped off into some other lake. That's why you have frogs in the other lake. The frog could have hopped, could have not hopped. So what's the difference if the frog hops there, or if somebody decides to introduce frogs into that lake? The Minaf Kamina. Whatever it is that ended up in an island someplace in the Pacific, something else could have ended up. So what does the word native mean? The way it's currently understood, that everything's by accident, native doesn't mean anything. Native is what happens to be there. So, okay, the welcome to the new natives. And yet the sense is that there's an equilibrium in each zone, and the things that are there belong there. And if you introduce something else to crowd out things that belong there, or you take out something that belongs there, it's usually not met with great success. It usually creates tremendous problems. So everything has a space. And everything has a space where it belongs, and nothing has the right to remove it from its space. It's therefore worthy that anything in this world has this shadow. Its shadow sort of reflects the quality of having a time and space. If that space is gone, hine ze ois v'simin behedet siloi shavayosin edezcha oylam ha'shafel. The lack of that shadow is sort of heralds the fact that he's no longer part of this world. V'nichtav nichma tavas ha'melech l'mos shanahi. He is destined to die that year. And the levana is sort of a sign that why the moon, because the moon is something which has a stronger hashpa on life down in this world. Let's reflect on one or two points of this that are very important. One, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that you should not make light of anything or of any person, because everything has its place and every person has its time. In other words, in our belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created people, especially people as where we come, we need to understand that every single being in the world has some act that he is irreplaceable at. And if we, and we need him. So it's not just, you know, this stucca and being kind to people, and that's very nice, it's wonderful, but we really need to believe that if a person was brought into this world, he fulfills a certain role that nobody else can fulfill. And what it is exactly, we don't know. But it means you can't make light and say, well, if this guy weren't around, you know, he wouldn't be missed, and so on. There's a second piece here. If you take a look and you ask yourself, what keeps old people alive? In other words, what are the needs of older people? What are the needs of older people? So, you know, forget the food and the water and the medical care, it's fine. But I would think that the central need of older people is a place. In other words, a person begins to realize, I have no place, I'm not needed here. I play no role whatsoever in this world. And the day a person feels that, he begins to die. He emotionally, mentally shrivels up, and the physical follows rapidly afterwards. There was a Rosh Yeshiva who was getting on in age. He was still sharp, but he was getting on in age, really on in age, his 80s, his 90s. And Rav Shach had a shita that people should retire at a certain point. And he felt more you need to let a young generation grow into place and so on and so forth. And he basically told this Rosh Yeshiva, time to move on, you know. You have to stop saying shurim and bring in a younger crew and so on. And this person told Rav Shach, does Rosh Yeshiva want to kill me? The only thing that keeps me, this is what keeps me alive, the shir, the fact that I say I'm needed and so on and so forth. It's a very, very important, it's the most critical piece of the puzzle, is the feeling of you're fulfilling something and you're doing something. And if you don't do, and if you're not needed, and you're extra, no matter how well people take care of you, basically you're gone. That's sort of a corollary of what he's saying over here. Ramban has another pshat. Or yirmas the sarmal talk mal achim shein umun or fellas at shenofel asar shel tchila kinyan shekos vivikar Hashem al tzvamorim b'morim v'charkach amalchi adama ba'adama. Akadosh Baruch Hu starts with things lamala and then they come down lamata. Like it says in Sefer Daniel, Kvar sara koach ashvatzil yuchay agoyim v'ashem amashoy samitonu alken al tirom. So basically he's saying lamala is already gone. It says in Medrash Hashem, it says Nosat Slolim, those are the Sorim of Dumas Olam. The Maral says, when he speaks about Nevuah, when a big person, quote unquote, predicts the future, so Ruach HaKodesh, Nevuah to some degree, it's not, let's give a mashal to this. If somebody tells you what the weather is going to be in a month from now, that's nevuah. If somebody can tell you accurately what's going to be in a month from now, whether he's a navi and or a navi sheker, but that's what he is. If somebody tells you tomorrow what the weather is going to be, or in a few hours, basically he's standing 100 miles to the west of you. The weather is moving from the west to the east, and all he's simply saying is, I'm here. There's a thunderstorm and lightning and rain and plenty of rain, and it's moving there. It's not that I'm predicting a future, really. You know, yes, it could be, everything could be pushed away, but what I'm seeing is the pre-storm. If let's say I'm above the clouds and I see what's going on, it's just a question until when it gets under the clouds. Those are all things that it's there, but not at your location. There's a darga. If for someone who can see the strata of worlds, and he says, well, I see the Malach of Esav has just been toppled, then it's a question when Esav will be toppled, when it'll be gone, that's it. It's like when a person's tooth, if the nerve is dead, so when the tooth falls out, it's just a question of time, because there's nothing anchoring it, and it'll be tomorrow or the day after, but it makes no difference. So some of the perception of understanding that something is doomed is really, I see now that their root is gone. Okay, now Rabbi Abichai back. This is, I've sort of interspersed Rabbi Abichai's explanation on Ramban. Vani tamo, lomo hutzrich aloshen Why does it says two things? It says their shadow is gone, and it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. Well, what do I care what shadows they have? What malachim? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, the pasuk should say, what do you care about their malachim? Hashem's with us. Sharei Korach Sheso Gdol Mekolahim. I mean, Kali Yisrael's Korach is greater than all gods. V'lo Kitzurei Netzura. Avla Nocha Be'enai. So Rabban says, what I think this right pshat, Rabbi Mordechai says, right pshat is, Ki yoyma ein lechem lira min amaknainim v'loy min asorim shalhem, loy min ha'om hu sha'om al tiro, loy min asorim hu sha'om oed al tiro, v'dosat ha'am al echot. He's saying we need not fear not the nation of Canaan nor the Malachim. So Yiras Amaretz Lachmeinem Lefisher Sot Sovah Lehem Kochem Akasha Shemos Pachdas Chamich Mimenu Kvanis Talak Lemalo. You know, he says the nation itself has been destroyed. It's quaking. V'yoreisem as V'yorasem as Om Loi Hoysel Neasorim Shlo Yiru Neasorim. And you're only worried about the Malachim who shama b'Hashem itanu, that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going with us, then even if the Sarim are in power, we still would be better. So basically, Ben Mechai says it's two reasons. First of all, he says, take a look. They've collapsed. They're falling apart. And secondly, even if their Sarim was still active, Hashem is greater than Sarim.
I think the question sounds a little better than the answer. I mean, the answer, it seems like...
Well, he's simply passing the sentence, and he's saying, "Al tiras ha'aretz kilachmenu heim," and sort tzilam aleim. And he's as if he's adding and saying, "And the tzel itself, you don't need to worry about because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's v'Hashem iton al tiram." In other words, don't worry about the malachim and the powers and so on and so forth because Hashem's taking care of that. We talk about Farash Od. Another one more thing. Lefi shahoye biyad Yisrael schus halechem v'atzel. Klal Yisrael has two schusim, Pesach and Sukkot, the bread and the shadow. Lachmenu heim sor tzilum aleihem. Lekach yom kilachmenu heim b'schus matzah b'Pesach. We have the schus. This is a nice chassidish of art. This would be if we wouldn't say it's Rabbeinu Bechai, you would say it's the Admor from Granada. So tzilom aleim b'schus tzel sukkah. V'Hashem shutzilom sheyisrael itonu kein shkos Hashem shamim recha Hashem tzucha yad minecha al kein al tira. So he says this we have two schusim, matzah and sukkahs. Maybe we'll add a little bit of a hezva since our chinuch has always been non-chassidish, in other words, the basic chinuch, that chassidish averta have some sort of substance behind it. The word's nice, it's cute. He's explaining that we're talking about an hagah that is beyond teva. And it's something where we're saying, yes, they have malachim and all sorts of kochos, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is greater and stronger. The klal is, what happens at the end of the day is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is, but what's the sense we have? A person who lives with real bitachon, meaning he doesn't push, he doesn't cut corners, he's relaxed about his parnasa. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him shaloka derech hateva. That's where shaloka derech hateva comes in. But a person can't play a game, and he deals dishonestly in business because he doesn't have bitachon. And then he's omen of bitachon, that is all about bitachon. That's a hypocrisy, and that's not emes. To say that a nation, let's say we take a look at a nation and we say this nation is extraordinarily powerful. We're really, really going to. They've got an extraordinary force behind them. So if someone comes along and says bitachon, well, the question is, do you really live that bitachon? Matzah, people's primary needs, their most elementary needs in terms of life is shelter and food. I mean, clothing, it's nice to have clothing, but clothing you can sort of, it's somehow under either food or shelter. And both of these Kol Yisrael went out on a limb and they just went after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the man, and they're going in the desert, both of them, they actually lived their bitachon. So he says, if we have lechem and tzel, those are the schusim that will take us through it. Then we can say that no matter what whatever the malachim are, whatever the forces, we can translate the word malachim to us, meaning, you know, if you look at a nation, you do an analysis, and they're very strong and very powerful, then Yechanami, that's, you know, that's the nation, and so on. Okay, we'll hold it here. Okay, so I'm going to...